to that which is urgent and serious in your heart. We ask, O God, for the ability to unburden this burden that you have placed even upon my heart. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask, O God, for the ability to also hear and understand that which you are saying to your church, to your people in this hour. Thank you, dear Lord. Hallelujah. I ask, O God, for the unction and for the strength and for the ability. And I would say for now that that is the burden that I carried into this camp. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I pray that after this evening you will still love me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that gives you an idea of where we are going. Hallelujah. Now, I remember in 1985 when we were on campus and in the university, and we were in Christian Union, and in Christian Union we started seeing a lot of things happening, and some of us who had Scripture Union background, we felt it was becoming too avant-garde, too funkinized, you understand, to be in the Christian Union. Hallelujah. Because we started seeing a lot of strange things happen in terms of mannerisms and in terms of dressing. It was quite different from what we used to know. And for some of us who were then serious-minded, started praying and seeking God. And when we started doing that, we started praying, and we started coming together, a few of us. In fact, we started a meeting, and some of us gathered, and we are just turning our hearts to God. We are seeking God with every seriousness. Hallelujah. By then, we never heard of anybody called Brother Dusile. We are just, there was a desire in our hearts to seek God, to call upon God. Hallelujah. I would say that then, men were men. You understand? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody tells you. You just, on your own, you take up a fast. You could fast for days, just seeking God. Hallelujah. During that time, that was when I came across the ministries of Brother Tommy Cook. And, you know, I could, while fasting, I'll put it on. I'll be studying line by line, right, making my notes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But if it is Sunday meeting, we start fasting for Sunday meeting on Friday. Hallelujah. So that we will get what is in the heart of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody was interested who you are, what you are, what you're studying in the universe. Nobody cared. Nobody cared where you came from. At least then, I didn't know where Brother Sam came from. Hallelujah. You know? Amen. And we are just there seeking God and calling upon God. And it was such a wonderful thing. Wonderful experience we had. Amen. And out there then, in CUs and all that groups that started coming up, we started seeing strange things in terms of their dressing, in terms of their companionship. And we are desiring to separate ourselves from such mixture that we saw at that time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That gives you a picture. Hallelujah. And I remember in one of those meetings, I talked about Babylon, not necessarily knowing the depth of Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. And for the past how many weeks, the Lord has been laying on my heart about the issue of Babylon. Hallelujah. And the present day church. And I will tell you that over the years, God has opened my eyes, and also some of us here to understand the depth of Babylon walking in the midst of the church. Hallelujah. So that sets the stage for where we are coming from. Hallelujah. Amen. If you look at the song very carefully, it says that by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we did what? Remembered Zion. There was something about Zion. Hallelujah. That the people knew. There was a burden in their heart about Zion. But lo and behold, in their own rebellion, they were carried where? Into captivity. And while they were in Babylon, Babylon demanded that they sing the song of what? Zion. In a what? Strange land. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I think that the word about Babylon is going to really come, will, for the young people in our midst may not quite understand. And I think that that is why God wants to warn us. God wants to instruct us. He wants to rebuke us. He wants to call our minds back to it, because in the end time church has been carried into captivity. Hallelujah. Amen. You are not saying amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The end time church is in captivity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The end time church will not leave the world alone, and the world seems not to be leaving the church alone. Hallelujah. The end time church is one and part and parcel of the world. Live like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world. Hallelujah. Amen. They seem to be singing the Lord's song, and where? In a strange land. And that is the dilemma we have. And it is quite significant of the state of the church. It means that the church is not really making progress. It's not moving the way it should move. And when we say the church, we're not talking about an empty building. We're talking about a people. We're talking about you and I. And our responsibility towards God and towards the things of God. We're talking about our objective of making it into Zion. Hallelujah. It seems to be that there must be some measurement that God is placing before us to determine how much progress we are making into Him. And we seem not to be giving heed to that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we talk about the word Babylon, we are talking about a word that is very serious. Just turn with me to Genesis 11, because that seems to be where we find the origin of the word. Hallelujah. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar or Shinar, and they dwelt there. The word Shinar there means Babylon. Amen. Hallelujah. Or interpreted as Babylon. Now, what happened here was that at the beginning there was such oneness of language, oneness of speech. The people were together. And I want to figure that they had one pursuit, they had one vision, they had one purpose. Hallelujah. And a day came when they decided that they are going to move from that position of one language, of one speech, one focus, one vision. They decided they were going to move. Hallelujah. And if you look at the word east there, they journeyed. He said they journeyed from the east. East, if you look at the word east, signifies from the place of eternity, from the place of everlasting life as it were. And they began to drift. They began to move away from that which God eternally had in mind for them. Hallelujah. They began to get involved. And I think that it was deliberate. Hallelujah. It was deliberate. Their action was deliberate. Hallelujah. Amen. So they began to move. They began to drift. They knew what they were doing. And they came to a place called China. And the word they are playing, they say they found a plain in the land of China. And that speaks about a place of comfort. Hallelujah. It was a plain. It had no mountains, no difficulties. It was a plain. It was a comfort zone. It was a place comfortable for them. And they felt that this is the place to settle. That this is the place to dwell. Hallelujah. Amen. And brethren, this is a picture of the state of the church. Globally, that is the state of the church. The church has drifted from the original vision, from original focus and objective of God. And the church has moved and come to a very comfortable plane. Hallelujah. And they seem to have settled there. Now, when we talk also about Babylon, we're not just referring to just the structures and the things that men can see about Babylon, but also speaks about the state of my own soul. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm really getting quite uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Even in our own fellowship of responses of individuals. Hallelujah. Because we are coming to a point where we have moved. And we are coming to a place of comfort individually. Hallelujah. And nothing about God moves us anymore. Hallelujah. We seem to be losing the vision, the original vision, very fast. And even when the word of God comes to us in rebuke, we seem not to give any heed to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wasn't just that the people moved and came to this plain called China, but they began to take certain actions that tells you that their action was deliberate. They have made up their mind how far they are going to go. They came and they settled and they began to build tower. They said they want to get up to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick. They began to exchange certain things. Hallelujah. He said, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And that the brick for what? Stone. They began to exchange, began to change the purposes of God. They were thinking of something that is a lot easier to manage. Maybe they were tired of, or they couldn't just make any attempt going for stones. Hallelujah. But the scripture tells me that we are what? Lively stones being made into what? A spiritual house. But they began to exchange something else for it. They began to go for brick, burnt bricks. In the place of stone. Hallelujah. Now, you can't tell me they didn't know what they were doing. They knew what they wanted to do and what they wanted to achieve. Hallelujah. And slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. Hallelujah. The people began to arrange themselves. They began to come together to say, listen, this is our one. They changed the original purpose to something else. And they did it in absolute rejection of God's own purpose for them. How do I know? Hallelujah. They should have been inquiring from God, number one. Hallelujah. God, what would you have us do? Rather, they began to make their own plans. Hallelujah. And I believe this was early in the time of creation. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see the downward trend of fall of man from then on. Hallelujah. Man began to exchange something else for the purpose of God. They began to say, let us build. And here I see an introduction of deliberate rebellion against the will and the purpose of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God had a different plan. They never cared to inquire of Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Babylon is not necessarily or limited to the issue of what we see. In fact, someone says that you have, besides the social Babylon, you have political Babylon. And that you also have economic Babylon. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, all of them in one are found now in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what we see here, brethren, is the heart of the people set in their own ways. To do their own thing. To do their own purpose. To do their own pleasure. Hallelujah. And God said, listen, if I allow these people to go on, hallelujah, maybe they are going to achieve their purpose. And God had to scatter them. Hallelujah. Amen. From then on, every man for himself and God for us all. Hallelujah. And this is what we can see in the church. Every man on his own. Hallelujah. Pursuing their own vision, pursuing their own objective, doing their own thing, saying their own words, speaking their own language, and all they are doing also is at the end to have their own tower, their own empire, where they will have their own control and do the whatever they want to do, and no man is going to question them. Hallelujah. And brethren, that is exactly the state of the church. We are just trying to paint a general picture. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, Babylon is a religious system. Is a church system. Is that which makes a man to come to church and never ready to hear what God has to say. Hallelujah. That is, before you leave your home, your mind, you already have a mindset of what you want to do, what you want. So every other thing that comes, if God likes, let Him turn this whole building upside down. You have made up your mind what you want to do. Hallelujah. That is the state of our heart. Hallelujah. And not only that, when God says, go forward. Hallelujah. You have already found a very comfortable zone to stay. Hallelujah. I used to have a friend in Lagos. When this word started coming and we started, you know, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Eventually he got married. And then he got to another, he went to one big church in DI and all that. When next we called, he said, listen, don't just bother yourself. I am comfortable where I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the truth of the matter is that you don't necessarily find a brother out there in one big Pentecostal church to hear that. You hear that right in the midst of the church. Hallelujah. Don't push me too hard. I am comfortable where I am. Hallelujah. Amen. And how do I know that? I know that by the things we say. By the things I do. I think I should be talking more about myself. Amen. Hallelujah. By the things I do. Huh? When the word of God comes and challenges me, my mindset about that word, hallelujah, shows that I am in Babylon. The way I respond to the word shows that I am in captivity. Hallelujah. Because I seem to have set a mark in my mind, you know, consciously or unconsciously, where I want to be. Hallelujah. So no matter the amount, no matter how much preaching that comes, I have set my own goal. That this is where I'm going to stop. Hallelujah. And over the past week, the Lord has been speaking and showing us where we are. And I can tell you, brethren, confidently that that is where a lot of us, we have come to the holy place. Hallelujah. A place where lampstand and the table of shewbread. That is where we are. We love it. But I think that the demand or the response to the things we hear is found in the altar of incense. The responses we make is right there in the altar of incense. Hallelujah. Because that is where there is a demand for my soul. That is where God is demanding for consecration. That is where He's demanding to kill me. But many of us, since we are comfortable with the lampstand and the table of shewbread, we don't want to make any, we don't want to take that risk of God slaying us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is demanding that every one of us be slain. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you are serious about it, then you have got to give yourself. But the jeopardy we find ourselves that we have just come. That is where we are. And I pray that by the end of today, God will take away the limits we have set and put for ourselves. That we might begin to move on forward. And there will be much grace given to us to, you know, to dare to enter. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me go to 2 Chronicles 36. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 5. It says, Joachim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters, to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see vessels. Hallelujah. Huh? The vessels of the Lord, we see them in Babylon, in the temple of Babylon. Hallelujah. The precious things of God, we now find them in Babylon. They have been totally taken over. Hallelujah. And they are being used in the name of God in the temple in Babylon. Hallelujah. And we know that when we talk about, or when the scripture talks about vessel, he's not just talking about, hallelujah, the physical utensils and all that. He's talking about instruments, people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The things of God, the holy things of God, they are now taken and being used in Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, you know, Babylon represents the Christian. He is born again, no doubt. Hallelujah. If I have to draw it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think from my own estimation, I just say, this is Egypt. Is it not so? Praise God. Hallelujah. Egypt speaks about what? The world. Is it not so? Amen. Hallelujah. And we have been redeemed and we are making our inroad here. And we come to the brazen altar and we come to the brazen lava. And then I would say from my own estimate, because here is all including the holy place. This is Holy of Holies. This is the outer court. This whole environment from here and its environment is all speaking about Babylon. Because it speaks about a place of mixture. And the scripture says that there is an abomination, hallelujah, that makes what? Desolate. Hallelujah. And this whole environment also is an environment that is coming under judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So it speaks about the Christian. Yes, he's born again. He has come into the outer court. Hallelujah. And not only just having the experience of having given his life to Jesus, but he has also come in or making an attempt and coming in, or some are coming and some are already there, coming into the holy place. Hallelujah. But or also he knows what God requires of him. Hallelujah. He says, oh man, he knows what the Lord requires of thee. Hallelujah. So he knows what God requires of him. He seems to understand to a certain level what God is calling him unto. Hallelujah. That, you see, deliberately he decides to rebel against that which God has in mind for him. So we find out that there are many Christians in this arena, in this particular sport. And when the word of the Lord comes to them, they argue about it, they debate it, they shift it. Someone says they parry it like football to one corner. And they just go on and do their own thing. And I pray, hallelujah, that we are not found, or God from today will not find men who treat his word that way. That is Babylon. So the whole world is engulfed in Babylon. Hallelujah. All around us. Hallelujah. Even in our own bedroom, there is what? Babylon. Hallelujah. Because it speaks about when a people reject the word of the Lord to do their own pleasure, to do their own thing. Hallelujah. So, if God speaks to you this morning and you refuse to obey God and to do what God wants you to do, it means you are in captivity. There is something absolutely wrong with you in relation to God's purpose and God's will for you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and the problem is not too far, or the center of the problem is not too far to find. The center of the problem is my own heart. It's in my soul. It dwells right in my soul. Hallelujah. Babylon represents the worldly system. It also represents the worldly system. And the things that are around us that are determining and, you know, telling us, are dictating the pace of how much we should respond to God. Hallelujah. I don't think I'm well understood. Hallelujah. It represents the world, the worldly system. It represents the religious system. It represents the economy of the world, determining and telling you what you should do. Hallelujah. What they consider to be normal. They set the standard for you. You have got to conform to its fashion. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what's Romans? I think it's Romans Romans 12. Hallelujah. Can we just have Romans 12? Hallelujah. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is God's, hallelujah, requirement for you and I, demanding for a dedication, demanding that we separate ourselves wholly unto Him. Hallelujah. And then he began to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Babylon represents a conformation, conforming to this world and its system, its fashion, its ways of doing things, its norms. Hallelujah. Conforming to the pattern of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. That is Babylon. The mixture that we find in the church. When we speak about the mixture, we are talking about the sometimes the ability to do, and sometimes the ability to rebel. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes you want to, sometimes you don't want to. Hallelujah. Follow after God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are cold. Sometimes you are hot. Hallelujah. That is Babylon. Sometimes you want to please God, and sometimes you don't want to please Him. That is Babylon. Going by the public opinion, what people say and what people do becomes the standard of measurement for you. That is Babylon. Hallelujah. And the church, the whole church, is now taken over by this same spirit. And men are walking in their own ways, in their own concept. Men are exchanging the word of God for their own human philosophies. Hallelujah. And there are many Christians today who read more of the motivational books more than the Bible. Is it not so? Amen. There are many Christians today who listen to what their pastors say more than what God has to say to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is Babylon. Hallelujah. Not only that, the choices, the kind of messages we have to listen. Oh, no, brother, Chijoke is very hard. Hallelujah. He doesn't preach like Christo Yakilome. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When man has that type of mindset, he is in Babylon. When you begin to pick and choose what to do and what not to do, when you know, you truly know that this word was born of God. It was a word for me in this hour. But you decide and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that word. I'm not going to take what brother so and so is saying. That is his own thing. You are in captivity. Hallelujah. Amen. God is demanding total submission. If we are to make it into the holies of all, God is demanding total submission. Hallelujah. You don't have a choice. You know why you don't have a choice? If you are truly a born slave of the Lord, you don't have a choice. Hallelujah. We need to be sold out, totally sold out to Him. If we are aspiring to get into the holies of all, to come into the place where we become one with Him, one with His purpose, one with His original plan for man. If we are aspiring for that, then we don't have a choice. We cannot pick and choose what we say or what we do. Hallelujah. Or how we are going to respond to that which God is saying in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is making a call. Hallelujah. And why he is making that call is that, hallelujah, there is an obvious judgment that is coming. The Bible says that the outer court is going to be given. Huh? Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Judgment. To be trampled upon. Hallelujah. This holy place church. Hallelujah. If they are not going to move in, press in, they will be destroyed like the rest of them. Now, the truth of the matter is that it is not enough to speak in tongues. It is not enough to carry your Bible up and down. Hallelujah. Without a determination in your heart to do what the Bible says. It's useless. Hallelujah. If you like, hallelujah, sponsor this whole camp meeting with your money. Hallelujah. If whatever you like, do in the name of God. If you are not desirous to press in, hallelujah, all that is all is a waste. It's nonsense as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. He says, but we are not of them that draw back. Hallelujah. We are not of them that are going to stay in this realm. God is encouraging us to press in. We are of them that believe to the what? The saving of the soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is an imminent judgment that is coming. For them that will settle on the outer court, that will settle even in the holy place. Hallelujah. There is judgment that is coming. So every man must hasten up his footstep. There must be a desire, a craving in your heart to press in. Hallelujah. Some of us want to, sometimes you just have this thought that comes, you want to taste a bit of the world, you understand? Hallelujah. Before you finally make a commitment to God. It's not going to work. Because certain people have paid the price. They have dared it. They defied their youth. They say they laid down their life because of the what they are seeing in God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you're saying that they are going to stand in judgment against you in that day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You say you want to enjoy your youth. Hallelujah. You want to be like the world, dress like them, speak like them. Hallelujah. Before you finally make a commitment, I tell you, there are some people that will stand against you in judgment. Hallelujah. Because they discovered God early and they began to pursue Him. With every intensity, with every desire, with everything in their soul. They are seeking God and pressing on in God. But you want to relax. You know, Babylon represents when a man begins to relax. Hallelujah. Begin to relax, begin to backslide, begin to conform. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give us a few examples. Hallelujah. Let's go to Daniel. Read Daniel chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. Says Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Hallelujah. There is an image of gold. Hallelujah. Today in the church. He said, whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Anharad cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations,
and languages. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a call and there is a pool of all people, of all nations, of all languages to begin to bow down to this image of Nebuchadnezzar, or the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Hallelujah. And many, including Christians, are being pulled. There is a strong pull. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a strong pull. It begins to affect our emotion and begins to affect our desires. Hallelujah. It begins to affect our minds. And if you don't join them, you look like a fool. An odd man out. If you are not part of this whole system, you look like a fool. Hallelujah. Because all the nations of the world, all humanity is responding. My humanity is responding. There is an urgent pull. Hallelujah. To begin to respond to the things that I see with my eyes. To begin to respond to the things that my heart so desire and crave for. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That is Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. Making a call for all men to bow down and worship this image. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you have been in the midst. Well, take for example this season. Hallelujah. Amen. Text messages going out. Wishing you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Is it not so? Hallelujah. And some of us here are responding to that. Is it not so? Oh, I don't know what they will think of me. Oh, come on. So I have to send a message back to them, wishing them all the same. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You know, many of us are afraid to stand up for what we believe. Hallelujah. Is it not so? In your office, even in your own family. Hallelujah. And when a man is not ready to pay the price for what he believes, he is in captivity. Hallelujah. If you are not willing and ready to pay the price, hallelujah, you have been taken, you are dwelling, you must respond to every other thing that comes. We're not just talking about compromise. We're talking about the state of your own heart. Hallelujah. Because the compromise is as a result of what is going on right within your own heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Just imagine, for example, you get to an office, a sister, and in this office, everybody is painting. Hallelujah. Amen. They paint their lips. They paint their nails. Hallelujah. And the same people will say, 7 o'clock in the morning, please, can we all gather to have a morning prayer? Is it not so? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Dare to be different and see what will say. Come. They will tell you, is it not the same church where me, I go to this, I'm born again, I am spirit filled, tongue talking. Hallelujah. Is your own different? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Inability to resist that. And tomorrow you go back home and you paint to be like them, you are in captivity. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That is what Babylon is all about. It's not just talking about the structures. It's talking about the state of my own heart. Hallelujah. Maybe you are in business. Everybody is cutting corners. And you just know. Well, it's not just cutting corners. There is what we call in business. We call it padding. Padding of the invoice. Do you know? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I mean. Hallelujah. You don't know. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man you are submitting the invoice to, you deliberately did not make the final invoice. You left it open. So when I go, I will discuss with him. Hallelujah. So you say, well, you see, how much is that there? Especially in ministries, you find them rampant. How much? Oh, it's 7 million naira. Okay. Just make it... 13 million there. Hallelujah. And behind the man is a big poster of the church he goes to.
Hallelujah. In fact, some of them, they put PST. Pastor. Meanwhile, he's telling you to add extra in the original invoice to him. And when you conform to that pressure, do you know? Hallelujah. I can tell you, this pressure will always come when you need the money most. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, what is my business there? It's government money. Hallelujah. You have connived. You are part of the system. Now, it is not just happening there. It has always been resident right in one corner of your soul. The love of money has been resident there. You love it. Hallelujah. Even before the money comes, you have a mental picture of how you're going to use it. Hallelujah. You start making calls to Lagos. How much is this type of car? Hallelujah. And it goes on from one thing to another. That is the way it goes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. That is Babylon. That is the pressure that comes with Babylon. You just want to be like other people. Hallelujah. You want to dress like them. Today it is a hard task to unpreach the issue of women wearing trousers. You understand? It's a hard task. Why? Because even the people that speak in tongues with you, they all dress the same way. So why is your own different? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is a call, a pull for all people, for all nations, and all languages to respond, to bow down to the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar has made. Hallelujah. Say that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, not just the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. But when you hear the sound of the cornet, the sound of flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. By the way, this is what you find in Babylon. Or today, I mean in terms of physically. We're not talking about the spiritual dimension yet. Hallelujah. Physically, that is what you have. Heavy rock music. If you want to get hold of the young people's mind. Hallelujah. Amen. You just get good instruments. Get unbelieving musicians. Hallelujah. Because most of them that play instruments for them don't even belong in that church. Many of them, they play from this church. Since the church, some churches start by 7 a.m. They play by 7 a.m. till 9. Some others are starting by 10. They cross over and go and play. Most of them are unbelievers. Hallelujah. Amen. The type of music is the type that must move your body. Do you understand? Hallelujah. And you see, young people, we always love that kind of thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they come, he says that when you hear the sound of this music, what you have to do is to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. When this begins to go on, that is it. Hallelujah. The whole body is taking over. Hallelujah. So in the church you hear all sorts. Hallelujah. And I can tell you without mincing words that when any place you find this, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't crucify me. Devil has taken over the pulpit. Hallelujah. Devil is in charge. Hallelujah. And they will have 5 services. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one, they will sing the same song they sang from 7 a.m. to the 1:30 that they are going to finally close. The man is going to preach the same thing he preached at the first service. He will preach his second service. He will preach his third service. He will preach his fourth service. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And for some of us, you want to have your Sunday. Hallelujah. So, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about people here in this room this night. You love your Sunday. oh, you know, I go to work on Saturday also. So Sunday is the only time I have. So I will manage and go to church. I'll go for first service. So that by 8:30 I'm back home. Hallelujah. And then I can relax. Hallelujah. Amen. You are gone. Hallelujah. You are gone into captivity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That is the state of the heart of man. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. It is not bad to sometimes relax. Do you understand? But what you do with your time, the state of your heart at that particular is the issue. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you can go for 1 week. You have not taken time to open the Bible. Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. You go for 1 week, you don't touch the Bible. Hallelujah. Why? Because you never had the time. Amen. You wake up 5:30. You quickly rush a prayer. You take a bath because you need to catch up the next bus. You're going to work. Hallelujah. God, when God has no place, when God cannot dictate and tell you, and when you cannot commune with God, you are in captivity. Hallelujah. We have to bring it down to that level. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Verse 6 says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. If you are not going to conform, you are coming under some persecution. Hallelujah. And as a matter of fact, the price I have to pay for leaving the world in the first place. Hallelujah. And when once I make that decision that I am going to give my heart to Jesus, your number one test, the first thing that calls upon you is what? Trial. Persecution. Hallelujah. If you are not ready and willing to pay that price, sorry, you cannot make it. Hallelujah. You know, there are Christians that don't like suffering. Hallelujah. Is it not so? I have heard a preacher say that. He said that he doesn't know what suffering is all about. That a Christian should not suffer. Hallelujah. That Christians are not meant to suffer. Hallelujah. Amen. And these are some of the people we love listening to. Is it not so? Hallelujah. A man came and said that he cannot. Why should he suffer? When Christ has paid all the price for him. Hallelujah. Why should he suffer? Hallelujah. Amen. And many of us have the same mentality. In fact, your mind begins to play upon you when you're going through times of trial and tribulation. Your mind begins to tell you that, listen, you should not suffer. Hallelujah. But I know that is not correct. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The scripture says that it is by much what? Tribulation that we enter into this place. Hallelujah. Amen. So the cost also includes that if you refuse to bow, you are going to be thrown into what? The burning furnace. Hallelujah. Amen. And by the way, you know, the scripture came to us by men who paid the price. Men who refused to conform. Men who rejected the ways of the world. Rejected, some of them even rejected pardon. Hallelujah. They said, no, it is better for me to die. Hallelujah. Amen. And I think that the time is coming. Hallelujah. Somebody used to say that when jungle matures, we will know. Hallelujah. Amen. Just imagine for a moment that you are in Borno State at this hour. I just wonder the kind of Christian you will be. Hallelujah. If I am in Borno, in Maiduguri by this time, with all the havoc that Boko Haram is causing, I just wonder the kind of Christian I will be. Hallelujah. You either stand or you don't stand. Hallelujah.
Amen. And I know that the coming year will not be any easy. Hallelujah. The battle is shifting down and going down. Hallelujah. And coming. Pressing. Hallelujah. And this is the time to decide where you have to be. Whether you are going to conform and be like them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there was, we had some people here who dared to believe. And they dared to stand for what they believed. They refused to bow down. And God is, and I know that it is not something that happened overnight. Hallelujah. Amen. They must have been instructed. They must have known the reality of the God they worship. They must have known that there is a price to be paid. They must have known that they are not willing and ready to submit to the dictates of Nebuchadnezzar and all his agents. Hallelujah. Amen. They decided and made up their mind that they are not going to bow down. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. They were in Babylon, yet they were not part of Babylon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were in right within the whole system, but they had a different mindset. Hallelujah. They refused that even though we have been in captivity, in the midst of this captivity, we are going to get out. We are going to deliver our soul. Hallelujah. They refuse. Their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. Hallelujah. Number one is that they refuse to regard whatever pronouncement that have been uttered in Babylon. Hallelujah. They refuse. They don't want to give heed. They don't want to listen to it. They are not part of it. They are not part of the system. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what is going on, no matter the attraction. Hallelujah. They made up their minds. Hallelujah. They said they will not serve their God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Said then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Hallelujah. Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is it? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the kind of boldness that these three men summoned up, it is not boldness that is conjured. Hallelujah. In 1 hour. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said to them, they said to him, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Hallelujah. We don't care. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, they already know what the punishment is going to be. They knew it before time. So it's not as if it's going to be unveiled to them. No. They already knew the price to pay for their response to the king. Hallelujah. Amen. He says that if so be, our God whom we serve is not able, or is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, Now worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hallelujah. They declared their own stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I just imagine in our own time, hallelujah, what our own response will be. Our own might not be, hallelujah, it might not be very visible and very obvious a punishment that is coming for them that will disobey the king. Hallelujah. Amen. It may not be very furnace. Hallelujah. It may not, you cannot even see it. The price to pay. Hallelujah. For some of us, it might be that what we are seeking for, we don't get it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It might even result into death. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother was telling the testimony of another brother where he was serving and they came. Hallelujah. Now, if they give you some graphic example of how Christians are killed in the north. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you want to go and do your service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to pray and say, God, please change this posting. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So a brother was doing his youth service and they came. He saw them. He ran. Somebody helped. He escaped. Hallelujah. They were chasing him. He got into this house, a Muslim house. A Muslim has the house. He has to give him the address to where and those things that they text me. And he sat in the same position praying. So when they this is some reality. Hallelujah. When they came to the house, they said, "Where is the man? Where is the man?" He said, "No, nobody entered here. Bro was there doing the thing there." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Counting the tisby or whatever they call it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that it was like getting out of hell. By the time the people left, he would go and take a very cold glass of water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, no one will tell him what it means to sit on the fence. Hallelujah. I hear his life has changed. He was here in our midst. He has seen the seriousness of the matter. You don't have to come to that point. Hallelujah. If you can only submit yourself willingly to God. Some of us are already dead before they want to kill us. Hallelujah. Amen. He that is down needs fear no fall. Hallelujah. We are already dead. So when the time comes, we will stand. You and I will stand. Can I hear an amen? When that time comes, you will stand. Amen. The three Hebrew children, they refused. They refused to submit. They said, "Listen, we are not careful. We are not going to bow." Hallelujah. And brethren, that is the kind of people God is looking for. They refuse to conform to the things that are happening. They refuse to hear the sound of the music, the worldly music. Hallelujah. Every time we are quarreling with our children. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, they can watch movie. Hallelujah. They can listen to music. Sometimes 2 a.m. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm praying that God will cause a separation today. Amen. The love of the things of the world. Hallelujah. It is not a matter of my father telling me to stop. It is a matter of my deciding it in my heart. And if you don't do it now, hallelujah. When the time comes, sorry, you may not find the strength. Because these things are not whipped up overnight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the three Hebrew children made up their mind. Even though they were in Babylon, they refused to be a part of what is going on there. And I can tell you, brethren, we can be, hallelujah, even in this life, we can be in this world, and we are not part of the world. Amen. There is a people that must overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Or the pool Of fashion, all the pool of media, all the pool of internet. There is a people that must overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me take another one. Just look at in the New Testament. Another example. Hallelujah. There are many of them. Acts chapter 5. Hallelujah. To show you that even an end time church can be in captivity. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It is not a show. It is not a show business. It is not doing what other people do. Hallelujah. It's doing what the Lord says I should do. Hallelujah. If I am doing what other people say I should do, if other people are dictating to me how I should respond to God, then I am in captivity. If I'm watching what other people are doing and doing the same in the church, then I am in trouble. Hallelujah. He said, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Now the background to this is that the Christians, they are everyone in this time, they were in one accord. They had all things in common. The scripture says that some even went and sold their belongings and they will bring it to the church and share it with the brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not saying amen. Hallelujah. Are we still there? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That was the practice. So everybody willingly was doing that. They were motivated as the Spirit of God directs them. Hallelujah. And I dare say, you are, or if we find ourselves in a situation where we are no longer moved by the Spirit of God to do the things that God is requiring of us to do, then we are in Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. If we are now being driven by our own carnal desires and emotions, hallelujah, we are in Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. In the church. Hallelujah. In fact, the scripture says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God. Sons of God are not led by their emotions. They are not led by their own minds. They are not led by doing what other people are doing. Hallelujah. They are led by the Spirit of God, doing what God asked them to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So for the church, every man was just being led. There was so much love in their hearts. They so loved the Lord. Hallelujah. They had seen, they had a taste of his power while he was on earth. They know the reality of following him. Not only that, they also knew the cost, the price of following him, because they were a product of the persecution that came upon the church at that early time. So they know what the price is when you declare that you are born again or that you are a follower of Jesus. They knew it. Hallelujah. So having found themselves together, it was so much joy that there are people of common faith. There are the people that have the same vision and the same understanding. Hallelujah. So it was a joy for them to go sell what they have and come share it with them that don't have. The Bible says that they all had things in common. And as they were doing this, the Spirit of God was moving. Hallelujah. They were not going for evangelism. Do you understand? Because of the circumstance they find themselves at that time. Hallelujah. But the scripture says that God was adding daily as many as must be what? Saved. Hallelujah. There was so much power. Hallelujah. But Ananias and Sapphira, they were also there. They were part of that. And they saw it. I'm sure they were saying in their heart, come on. How can Brother Obi? You don't have anything. And you are selling what you have. Me too. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Me too. Hallelujah. Me too. I can do it. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, there is nothing like me too. Hallelujah. Every man must do what he is told to do by his father. He receives instruction from above. Amen. Hallelujah. It is not a me too business. If you continue me too, hallelujah. I hope you will do me too when they come to chop off my head. Hallelujah. So it is not a me too business. Every man must answer his own what? Father's name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Ananias and Sapphira was a me too Christian. They were living in captivity. They came out. They went and they sold their own possession and kept part of the prize, you know. Hallelujah. Today there is a doctrine that is going on, and some of us we listen to them, we buy their books. It is called wisdom. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Because it's dug out of the word that wisdom is what? The principal thing. Hallelujah. So it is wisdom. And then they begin to teach you how you can make it. Hallelujah. Amen. That if you want increase, hallelujah, always bring your one-tenth. Bring your tithe. Hallelujah. Amen. And keep back the rest to yourself. Praise God. And Ananias and Sapphira, they kept back part of the price of what they sold. His wife also bearing, being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, if they had brought it and said, hallelujah, this is part of what we sold, nobody will quarrel with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, they want to make an impression. They want to impress Peter and the rest of them. They want to. Now, when you begin to live by impression, you want to impress me, or you want to impress Brother A, you are in captivity. You need deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether it be in your dressing, whether it be in your giving, whether it be whatever it is, you want to create impression. Hallelujah. You are already gone. Hallelujah. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pause there for a while. There was a preacher that had cancer. Hallelujah. And because he doesn't want to create the impression that ministers can also get sick, he never told anybody. Hallelujah. In fact, it wasn't even cancer. It was HIV. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't know that some of the preachers, they also sleep with other men's wife. That is not for us to discuss here. Amen. But he had HIV. He was hiding it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oftentimes he will not even come out to preach. They will say the pastor is indisposed. Or they tell one lie that he has traveled for a preaching assignment somewhere. Hallelujah. But I can tell you something. The day the wind will blow, we will discover that Father was not wearing trousers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day it will happen, all these things will be exposed. Hallelujah. So if they like, let them cover it up. Now, we are laughing that, but you see, sometimes we create the same type of impression. Hallelujah. And I often will tell anyone that if you know you have not heard from God, don't pretend. Go and take malaria medicine. Don't pretend to be super. You have faith. If you don't pretend, don't create any impression. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He was covering up, but one day the thing blew open. Hallelujah. It was not far away from here. It happened in nowhere. Praise God. That is not what we are discussing. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? The Holy Ghost, they have made up their mind to tell lie. Their whole life is a lie. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says that, how come? That Satan had filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the prize of the land. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine in thy power? Is it not in thine own power? Why had thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but what? Unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. that is Babylon. Living by impression. Trying to impress other people. Trying to be like other people. Many of us, we just want to be like other people. And brethren, that is what has brought a lot of worry and burden in my heart about the church. This church of this 11th hour is living by impression. Hallelujah. Is walking into death. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is making a call. Hallelujah. That we get out of this captivity. The only way we can do it is to come into the place of repentance. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What are the consequences? Hallelujah. Present day consequences. Why the church is not making, is not exercising power and authority, is that we are right in Babylon, conforming to all the norms and all the vagaries that go on in Babylon. And that is why we lack power to do certain things that God is saying that we should do. Hallelujah. It is certain meetings, no anointing. Hallelujah. You go to certain meetings, everywhere is dry. Hallelujah. You come into the home, we don't have the authority to exercise over our own children and the things they do. Because we are in Babylon. Hallelujah. We cannot restrain them because what we want to restrain our children from, we are also guilty of the same. Hallelujah. And God is making a call that we retrieve our steps. Hallelujah. One of the consequences we find clearly is that we begin to experience defeat in our walk with God. Hallelujah. I just want to point just that one out. Hallelujah. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. You can see Christians, they are on the same plane, the same year in, year out. Hallelujah. Tired, weak every year. There is no significant change in their walk with God. There is no increase of the knowledge of God. Why? Because the man is not doing anything concerning his own present condition. He has made up his mind that this is where I am going to stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just read verse. You know what the story is. It has to do with a man called Achan. Achan had the instruction. Hallelujah. You know, a couple of days back, they went into battle against Jericho. And they brought Jericho down. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm sure they obeyed all the rules. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Are you with me? They obeyed the rules. They said that for 6 days, they are going to go round Jericho. How many times? No. One time a day, 6 times. But on the 7th day, they will go through it where 7 times. They obeyed all the rules. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that tells me that there is something. There is a reward. There is a victory that comes with obedience. Hallelujah. And as they did that, the Bible says, I'm saying that archaeologists say that the place called Jericho, is a plain ground. It's like the earth opened and swallowed Jericho. Hallelujah. That is the power of obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. But after they have won Jericho, a stone throw there is a country, a little place, very little city called Ai. Or called Ai, anyhow you want to call it. But I think it is I. Hallelujah. It is I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just a stone throw. They have already said in their mind that this is a very small city. Hallelujah. We don't need to summon up all our armies and go after this city. Just a few of us. How many of you will be willing? He said, you will just go and overrun them. Hallelujah. They went the first day. That little city embarrassed them. Hallelujah. They ran down. They ran back. They couldn't make it. They came down, threw themselves on the floor and started crying. They said, no, let us go again. They go again. Bam. How many of them were killed? They came back. They said, God, what kind of calamity is this? Hallelujah. They couldn't. Hallelujah. As they were there one day crying and mourning, God said, my friend, get up. Hallelujah. Amen. There is something that is responsible for your defeat. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 21. Or let's read it from verse 20. He says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thoughts have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. Number one. That was number one instrument. Number one thing that caused their fall. Huh? He loved what? Babylonish garment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know when you talk about garments, raiments, you know what you're talking about. You're talking about a covering. Is it not so? They loved the covering of Babylon. Hallelujah. The man loved it. Hallelujah. He did not just take it. He took Babylonish garment. He took what? Gold. He took what? Silver. And he ran down to his own tent. Opened the earth, hid it there. Hallelujah. You know, some of us, hallelujah, we are carrying certain property inside of this earth. The things that have been accursed, the things that have been judged, we carry them and we're just walking about. Hallelujah. We are carrying, going, and the strange thing is that we are not just carrying the covering for ourselves. Hallelujah. This Babylonish garment we are carrying is not just for ourselves. Hallelujah. We seek to influence others with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you want to think about that, really, brethren, oftentimes there are certain covering we carry. Hallelujah. You come into your house, the mood, the atmosphere changes. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Amen. It's a covering. Hallelujah. When we begin to love the world, our environment will be affected. But when we begin to turn our heart, he said, when he turns to the Lord, the veil, hallelujah, shall be broken. Hallelujah. When we turn to the Lord, the same influence begins to affect our environment. And that is why, when a man is really anointed and he sits in the midst of ungodly people, they begin to know. Hallelujah. Because of the covering that he's carrying. Hallelujah. If a smoker is sitting by his side, he quietly, without even saying, he will put off his cigarette. Because of the covering. Hallelujah. But brethren, here, many times we are covered with Babylonish garments. And because we have that, it determines the kind of food we eat, the places we go, the friends we have. Hallelujah. The appetite we have. This is what determines it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he took 200 shekels of silver and a weight of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them. There is a covet. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you don't necessarily need to have it before you sin. Do you understand? Before you walk against God. That is one thing about Babylon. Hallelujah. Just covet it. You are as guilty as the man who has it. Hallelujah. Amen. When you covet it, wanting to be like them, you are. Because that was their problem from the origin. They said, let us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You said last time we're saying that. You say you are not a harlot. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not a harlot. But when you dress like them. So whether you are not like them or you covet it in your head, it is one and the same thing. Because it's working with a spiritual principle. Amen. He said that it is not necessarily the man who goes to sleep with a woman, but the man who does what? With his own eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. That the man has committed what? Adultery already. Hallelujah. That is the principle. When you begin to like it, in your heart, covet it. You are as guilty. Hallelujah. Amen. You see that trouser suit? When you begin to covet it, it is the same thing. Hallelujah. You see those long, long painted nails? You like it? You have the same. It's in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, oh, Brother Isaac, why are you talking about the external? I'm talking about the reflection of what goes on in your heart. Many Christians today, even in this hall, could not one for one moment think of it. But today, we are doing just the same thing. Hallelujah. We couldn't just think of it. Because some little money has entered your hand. You want to be like them. Hallelujah. Amen. Your status is changing. Hallelujah. But before now, you didn't have anything. Hallelujah. I knew some of us. Hallelujah. You didn't have a thing. Now some little change is entering your hand. You want to be like them. Hallelujah. You want to dress like them, talk like them. Hallelujah. And you tell God you are not in captivity. You are right in there. Hallelujah. Get so worried. Sometimes I have to speak to the husbands. I say, are you watching the way your wife is dressing? Are you comfortable with that? Hallelujah. Some even dare say, yes, I like it. It's my wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the state of church. Hallelujah. But God is making a call. Hallelujah. Amen. Go with me to Isaiah 13. Amen. There is a judgment that is coming upon Babylon. He says, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms. You better know that Babylon has its glory. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. God is coming down in judgment against Babylon. Hallelujah. So you better watch it. Watch the things that you do. Watch the things that dwell in your heart. Just watch it, because judgment is coming. And the Bible tells me that God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. If you like, be chief elder. Or you be a bishop. Or whatever you call yourself. God is saying judgment is coming. He is going to overthrow Babylon. Just the way he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. What did Sodom and Gomorrah do? They were walking in absolute rebellion against God. They were walking like people in this age. Homosexuality. Every manner of evil was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. I don't want to talk about church. Hallelujah. Because that is not God's business anymore. God is concentrating on the people who said they have come out of the church. Hallelujah. He's talking about people that have come out of the ecclesia. People that said they are marching towards being the eclectoi of God. God, that is God's own concern. Hallelujah. Because out there, what they call church. And I think that very soon, even the Pentecostals will begin to, hallelujah, ordain gay and lesbians. It's already happening in the Anglican church. Hallelujah. Amen. So God has done away with church long time ago. He's talking about people that say they have come out. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, and it shall never be inhabited. That Babylon shall never be inhabited. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian peach tent there. Hallelujah. Or the Arabian peach tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Hallelujah. Amen. A time is coming. What you call church will be history. Hallelujah. They cannot, because God is bringing judgment upon her. Hallelujah. He said, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. They can no longer build their temple and their castles. Hallelujah. They cannot. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. A And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And all shall dwell there. And satyr shall dance there. Hallelujah. Amen. But I don't know whether you know. People like Gideon. You know Gideon now? Don't you know them? Gideon. Don't you know Gideon? Are you looking at me? You don't know it. Okay, Gideon. Okay. Gideon. You see his life. You know the man's name. I don't know his name. Hallelujah. Amen. They bring them to the church. To where they call church. Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Not only them, many of them. MC this and MC that. They are right inside of the church. The word satire. Hallelujah. Maybe you need to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah? Hallelujah. I read theater art, so I know what satire means. Comedians. Comedy. Satire is an exaggerated form of comedy. They come and they make. Hallelujah. Amen. That one, Gideon, I don't want to see that man. He has blasphemed. He speaks every manner of thing. Oh, the church is moving to permanent site. Do you know what that means? Hallelujah. You don't have any choice than to listen when you are traveling. They will put it, and they will put it from here to Abuja. So you don't have, even if you block your ear, sometimes the earphone starts paining you, so you remove it. So some will filter inside. And people are there laughing. Christians are there laughing. That is what you find in the church today. Suya night. Do you understand? Even the people you think that are serious-minded Christians. Hallelujah. They organize Suya night. Hallelujah. And they use it to raise money. If you take one suya, it's 1,000 naira. So you are not coming there to eat suya for free. Hallelujah. That is what the state of the church. But it's brethren, it also typifies the state of our own heart. We love Mary. We love Mary Magdalene. We love the lighter mood when we come to church. And we don't hear what we want to hear. We feel sad. When God begins to touch certain specific areas of our lives, we are not happy about it. We want it to be nice all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. But I can tell you, brethren, the message, the true word of God that will come to us from now on will not sound, because God wants to hew out for himself a premium people. Hallelujah. It's not going to be all joy, dance, fine, all the time. It's not going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. The time of judgment for Babylon is very close. Hallelujah. Go again to Revelation 21. Hallelujah. You will understand. Hallelujah. That particular thing, that particular system is in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I right with it? I'm looking at where he says that Babylon is falling. Hallelujah. Verse what? 3. Chapter 18. Good. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Hallelujah. It says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Amen. But look at verse 4. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not partake or be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not, and that you receive not of her what? Plagues. Amen. So there is a judgment that is coming, and the call of God is that we get out of Babylon. Come out. Hallelujah. It is a choice we have got to make. Hallelujah. Amen. Babylon will not want to leave you, but you can leave Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. We must change our lifestyle. We must change the things we love. We'll change our appetites. We must change the companies we keep. We must change the books we read. We must change, hallelujah, our pursuit in life. Be it career, be it whatever it is. We must take a look at it. How does it fulfill the purposes of God? Hallelujah. Amen. And he said that we must come out of her. Amen. Look at Jeremiah 51. Hallelujah. Beginning to round off now. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 51. He said, flee out of the midst of Babylon. Flee. Hallelujah. The word is flee. Run. Hallelujah. There is such an urgency. Hallelujah. Because God is concluding things. Hallelujah. If you look at what is happening, hallelujah, you must know. The signs are there. He is winding up things. That is why he is encouraging the church to flee, to run out. You have got to do it in a haste. Hallelujah. You don't stroll out of it. You must run as if there is danger after you. Hallelujah. That is what it means to flee. Hallelujah. He said, flee. Amen. Out of the midst of Babylon. And deliver every man his what? Soul. Hallelujah. Amen. You must run. Run. Run with every strength you have. Because Babylon will not want to get out. You have to run. It is your decision. It is in your power to run. In other words, it is in your power to say, this and this, I am no longer going to do them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her what? A recompense. Babylon had been a golden cup in the hands of the Lord. Why? That is the standard he uses to gauge where you and I are standing. Hallelujah. Amen. You walk out of the world and you come here. This is the place where he begins to try your heart. He begins to try my heart. It is not only getting out of Egypt that was the trouble with the children of Israel. It was getting into the wilderness. Hallelujah. God's deliverance is not... Hallelujah. God wants to deliver you. But you see something? Hallelujah. His deliverance is attached to seeing what your heart is. The Bible says that he took, that is Deuteronomy, that he did all that, taking them through the wilderness. To do what? To see what is what in their hearts. So Babylon has been a golden cup. A standard God uses to measure, to gauge your commitment, to gauge your consecration. Hallelujah. But I can tell you by God's own reckoning, hallelujah, that I inclusive, we have all fallen short. We are falling short of his expectation. We have been in this wilderness, in this place for so long. But every day we are fouling things up. Every day we are failing him. Hallelujah. The end time church is now involved in politics. When we gather, we look for who is on our side and who is not on our side. Hallelujah. That is this people that say they have come out of where? Out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Every manner of unclean thing going on. A lot of cover up. A brother against brother. A lot of, hate in our heart against one another. Hallelujah. Offenses in our heart against one another. And you tell me you are any different from the man who is in the Pentecostal church. You are no different. I am no different. Hallelujah. Huh? The Parakpo meetings, you understand? I only incline to people who are from the same tribe with me. It does mean that you don't have the Spirit of God. If you still have tribal spirits working in you, then you are not partaker of this sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is looking for people that are totally separated unto Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Haul for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be she may be healed. Babylon can never be healed. Hallelujah. Oh, let us remain there. You know, they used to tell us, huh? Why are you leaving Anglican church now? Hallelujah. Who will save those that are there? I am not going to save them. Hallelujah. Jesus died for them. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to save them by my works and activity. Hallelujah. The one we have done is enough. At least we started the Sunday school. Hallelujah. It's enough. Let them find their way. Let them look for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Babylon cannot be healed. Hallelujah. You cannot remain in the same system, in the same place, thinking you can bring about a change. You cannot, because Babylon cannot. All you need is to flee. Hallelujah. Run for your soul. When once, even if it be in MIS fellowship, and we begin to politic, I will run. Not be my papa house. I will go away. Leave it for those who want to control and be in possession. That is your business. Hallelujah. Any day MIS begin to do politics and begin to do all these things that we hear out there, I will leave. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we must flee. Babylon cannot be healed. Hallelujah. All you need to do is to flee. And the fleeing, is not just the physical fleeing only. It is also from your heart. Because you can flee and go to another place and go and start causing trouble there too. If the thing is not dealt with, if you are not healed in your soul, you will go there and you start another church politics. Hallelujah. Amen. Say Babylon is destroyed. It must be destroyed. The only way to handle Babylon is to destroy it. Get out. Hallelujah. He said we would have healed Babylon. But she is not healed. Hallelujah. Say forsake her. And let us go. Everyone into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven. And is lifted up even to the skies. Praise God. That is the state of Babylon. Amen. The call of God is very clear. I go back to the same Revelation 14. The response. Hallelujah. The same response is God requiring and desiring from us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Hallelujah. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. They are no longer going to sing in Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. They are singing a new song. Amen. Hallelujah. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song. Amen. Hallelujah. But the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. Hallelujah. There is a defilement that comes with women. That comes with the church system. That comes with the worldly system. There is a defilement that comes. You know, when the scripture talks about the woman or the women, is making reference to the church. Hallelujah. It's talking about it when it is in plural. It's talking about the different versions of denominations. And their different doctrines. Hallelujah. And many are getting defiled. Hallelujah. He said, but these ones are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They are led and motivated by the Spirit. They are constantly setting their eyes upon the Lamb and following him wherever he leads and directs. He said, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Hallelujah. It is fallen. Why hold on to a fallen system? Why hold on to that which has been judged of God? Hallelujah. If you keep on holding on to it, you yourself will be judged. That is why, let it go. Hallelujah. Flee for your own soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you read verse 18, it's saying the same thing. It says, another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp shekel, saying, trust in. Hallelujah. Am I reading the right place? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think I'm reading the right place. Okay. Amen. Praise God. We just leave it. Amen. It's chapter 18 actually. 2 and 3. Amen. And verse 10 and 21 to 24. Praise God. So, okay. Let's go to 18. We have read 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3 before. Let's go to verse 10. It says, standing afar off. Hallelujah. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Hallelujah. 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. It's casting it into humanity, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more. At all. Found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. All their music, hallelujah, all their rock music, everything is coming under judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. I know some brethren, they will never touch certain type of Christian music. Hallelujah. Amen. They just don't want it. And I want to encourage you right on. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, some of us, is the things that have been programmed into my head. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you about myself. Now, you know, I love music. Good music. I love music. That is why I play it. Hallelujah. That's why I learned to play guitar, learned to play keyboard. I just love it. Hallelujah. But you see, my mentality had not been separated from all the drum beats. It's still in my head. Hallelujah. It's still in my head. All the rock music. You know, at a time I was patterning my life just like, I know you haven't heard of him. You know a man called Cliff Richard? I would dress like him. Hallelujah. He's an old time. He's a Christian. He got born again. And I'm not very sure he's married till today or if he's still alive. Hallelujah. Amen. I wear my, you know, waistcoat like him. Carry my guitar. I want to sing like him. I want to sing like Bob Dylan. Hallelujah. I want to sing like Hallelujah. Dion. Hallelujah. Sorry. Yeah, that is Dion. Hallelujah. I want to sing like hallelujah. The one that sang, "You are the flesh of my flesh and the bone of my bone." I want to sing like them. It is programmed and I'm asking God, get rid of it. Hallelujah. In other words, Babylon can dwell in your head, in your mentality. You have a mindset about Babylon. Hallelujah. And it's going to, you are just going to make effort to separate yourself from her. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But there are certain areas of Babylon we don't just want to touch, but I think it's needful we touch them. Things that have to do with culture, tradition, they are all part and parcel. Because you know what? They are now packaging it right into the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Even the church, they said, listen, we are not going to wed you unless you have fulfilled all the tradition that her parents had requested of you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about end time church. I'm talking about the people that say they have come out of her. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm seeing Ashuebi in the end time church. Do you understand? Ashuebi, hallelujah. They tell you the color of dress you are going to wear to come to that wedding. Hallelujah. That it must be gold and green. You understand? It's on the invitation card. Church is falling. He said, run, flee out of her. There are many things to talk about, brethren. Hallelujah. But we're not going to spend time. Hallelujah. Because you know them already. You know the area where God is touching you. You know where He is speaking to you about. You know the things, the way you need to respond to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word is for to encourage us. It says, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of all her musicians and all, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee." Hallelujah. That is God's final judgment upon Babylon. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Brother, I want to stand here tonight. Actually, by the things we are hearing, what in my heart, there's a weeping in my heart because it doesn't actually call for excitement. It calls for a people going down before God and weeping for our own souls. Brethren, the truth is that God has moved far ahead of us. And we need to catch the pace or we'll miss it. That is the truth. We know so much about what is going on. But at this point in time, I believe that God is calling us to look inwards and look into our hearts. It's not really about what's going on out there, but it's what is going on right down within the depth of my soul. Because brethren, at this point, in the morning, after Robert finished ministering and we're singing a song, and we're singing, "I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for the coming of Christ." God was saying to my heart, it's not just you looking for the coming of Christ. It's about Christ looking forth to the returning into His house. If we are actually looking forth for the coming of Christ, why Christ Himself is looking forth to the coming forth of the coming into His house, brethren, He will come. But we'll sing, "Oh, we are looking forth for the coming of Christ." But why is it not coming? Why it's not coming is because we are not actually looking for His coming. We are looking for something else. I'll just tell you, well, I try to fellowship with the brethren where I stay for now, and we have a 21 days. We have said after the end of the year, we'll take up a 21-day fast. And we're fasting. Well, I get into the meeting, and we get into the meeting, and we're like, oh God, what is next year going to be like? What is, we'll pray for those that need to get married, those that need to get children. We're just praying, and in my heart is turned, and I say, God, is that just all? And God began to say something to my heart. He said, when we gather, we have our own interests, but God has his own interests. Say, have you people tried to find out what is God's interest? And I tried to look at it. I said, God, we have our own interests, things we need to do, what we want God to do for us, but God has his own interests. After that conversation, I went home. And I slept. And a man walked up to me and he said, Christ, he said that he wants to come into his house. Let me just say the way he said that Jesus must be manifested in the church first before he can be manifested out there. That was what the man told me. And I woke up and I'm wondering. But as I was getting out of that sleep, a word came to me. And he said, he shall suddenly come to his temple. See, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And I discovered that God is more interested to come into his temple than more than I'm saying I'm seeking for his coming. I can sing that, oh God, I'm seeking for the coming of the Lord. So, but God, the Lord whom you seek, he will suddenly come to his temple. And as I kept looking at the word, he said to me, he said that his coming is not going to come with what we expect out there. Say that his kingdom is right within you. And if his kingdom is right within you, he, God, desires to come to take hold of that kingdom that belongs to him. And as we sat here this morning and we're saying, oh, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord, and God was saying to me, he said, which coming are you looking forth for? Say, I, God, want to come. But if we are actually looking forth for the coming of the Lord, when he is God, he is desirous of coming into his temple, he will come. But because we are not looking forward to that, we'll just sing because we want the same song. That's why he's not coming. Because say God himself he desires, he said, I desire much more than you do to come into my house. I am much more desirous to come into this temple more than you are. But if you are actually desiring that, that means I will come very fast. And I'm sitting here this morning at the prophet is talking about the impending doom, the impending judgment that is forthcoming. And we're talking about what is going on out there. But God is talking about what is going on right in here. God is not interested in what is going on out there. He's only interested in what is going on right in my soul. So it's not a thing of excitement, brethren. It's a thing that the people will get down before God and weep for their souls. We can shout because we know the words. But God, it is that people will get down before him and repent. The word is not coming to us for us to be excited, brethren. It's coming to us at this point in time because there's an impending doom. There's an impending judgment that is forthcoming. And God is much more desirous to come to his temple. He said he must be seen in his church before he can be seen in the world out there. And what, as the kingdom of God is building up, the kingdom of the devil is amassing, and they are running faster than we think we know. So brethren, it's not a thing of for us to get excited. We can't just get excited, brethren. is a thing that we must go down before God and find a way out. I don't know how to say it, but the truth is that God is much more desirous to come into His temple more than we think we are looking for Him. Praise God.
So let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. I'm just wondering how many of us are kind of confused in our hearts. That is, you are not feeling, you don't fully hear. Well, you've heard, but you don't fully understand what God is saying to us. You know, your heart is not agitated. Your heart is not, has not been shaken, quickened. Your heart is still just at rest. Just as at rest. This is one of those words the Lord speaks to us. So let us just quickly respond to it and we'll just go for our food. I don't think this word is one of those such words. We must respond to Him, and the urgency with which this word has come, urgency in the Spirit, should tell us that we need to respond. And not just responding anyhow, not just responding emotionally, but responding to God with our minds and asking God specifically, Lord, what do I do? Because brethren, there is a separation that is going on. Please, I would want everyone to sit down. If you want to be part of the response, or you can just step out so that those who want to respond will not be distracted. If you don't think that you need to respond, you can just step out there. But if you feel that there's a weight in your heart and you want to respond to God, you want this word to sink in and do something drastic in your life, something that will bring about a change, an encouragement, a strength for you to move forward, then brethren, let us concentrate just for a few moments. You know, God is looking at our hearts. It's not how many words we're able to speak, but it's how my heart is able to respond to Him. It is very, very, very clear that we have been in this mountain for a long time. We have come into the holy place with all manner of things, and God is saying to us, we must move on. There has been a mixture of the carnal and the spiritual, which has to do with Babylon. That is why, brethren, we see a lukewarmness. I said, I don't want anyone to stand up and walk around, please. If you want to go out and stay out. If you want to sit down, sit down. I want us to respond to God in your heart. God is looking through our hearts and is searching. One thing that the end time church that we lack is that foundation of repentance. And that is the only virtue or whatever that can bring us a refreshing and a deliverance and that can bring the grace of God into our lives to move forward. And I think that if we're able to respond to God this word, well, then we'll move forward. And then it will be a quick walk. But if we are not able to respond, brethren, there will be a drawing back. There will be a drawing back to the outer court, a drawing back unto perdition. The son of perdition is about to be revealed in the time in which we are in. And God is just restraining. And the only thing that can save us from this operation of Satan, you know, Satan got into Judas. The only thing that can deliver us from that, brethren, is true repentance. Is our state of heart. What do you want God to do for you? We are going to respond to God. We are going to make an altar call for ourselves. We are going to respond to God. You want to move forward. You want to give all. There are specific things I believe strongly that the Lord might have touched that you need to deal with. Specific thing for specific sons. I say sons. Specific thing for you, not for any other person. You know, we have been excited and God is cautioned us that this, what he's saying, does not call for excitement and responses and say it. It calls for soberness. It calls for repentance. It calls for crying. And I think tonight I would want us to be sincere with God. We cannot act. We have to be sincere with God. Maybe there are things that you've not understood. Maybe you just heard Brother Isaac's voice, but you didn't really understand so that you can perceive. Tell God that, Lord, I heard, but I don't really understand. But if you understand, if you understood what God was saying to us this evening, then you have to respond to him. Hallelujah. Because not responding to him will have serious consequence. Even if you don't understand, but you heard him walking out a way carelessly without asking God to give you understanding has its own consequence. Everyone, all of us who have been here and we've heard the voice of God through our brother, needs to make a response. Hallelujah. That word comes to me, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. This is a death to self message. We can only be out of the Babylon, brethren, if we are dead. And when we say dying, I don't mean physical death. But if we say, Lord, if I perish, I perish. But we will not perish. Hallelujah. Having said this to encourage us, let us just respond to God tonight. Let's just pray. Pray for yourself. Just say something to God in your heart. David said, search me and try me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There is a grace that has come with this word. I find some of us, we have some fears in our hearts. Oh, that I may not be able to overcome this. We have fears in my heart that even if I rise and give myself to God today again, I will go back to that same old ways. Some of us, we have challenges in our lives which we has lingered for a long time. But brethren, there is a grace today. Your own responsibility is to say, Lord, I come. Lord, I come. With willingness, Lord, I come to give myself to you. Hallelujah. I don't know, can we respond by singing that song? There's a song that said, Lord, I come. I don't know who. Does anybody remember that word? Amen. Let just rise. Well, not. Well, just a minute. This call is not for everybody first. This call, we're going to, those who have heard, and you know that you've heard definitely what God is saying to you, want to respond. Please, let's be sincere. You just rise on your feet, and we pray. We're going to pray for those who have heard, but they have not really understood. We don't want to do it just the way, mechanically. Oh, let me just run, and you know, at times you make altar call, everybody comes. But tonight, if you have heard, you've understood what God is saying, God has touched you in some areas and you want to respond to God, you just stand on your feet and let's respond to God, and we'll pray for ourselves. Can you give us this in? Just as I am, without one plea. Please, let's be, you know, God can touch you if you're sincere to him. Amen.
Just as I am without one, but thou thy blood washed for me, and thou bidst me to
To pray. Just I am. Okay. Just I am. Though tossed about, with many fears within, with many are conflicts and many doubts, fightings and fears within and without. Many of us, how many of us have doubts in our hearts? Just tell God, raise up your hand. How many of us have conflicts? How many of us have fightings within, whether you should go forward or you should go backward? You have fears that you will perish. You are saying to God, no, Lord, I'm coming tonight. By faith, you are coming tonight. Hallelujah. Brethren, just a minute. Before we sing that, I want you to sing this with faith. Do you know that there's a second dimension of faith which this Hebrew man exhibited? Nebuchadnezzar said, we are going to throw you into fire if you don't bow. And they said, be ye known unto you, O king, that our God shall deliver us. That's the first dimension of faith. Our God will deliver us. That's the first. The second dimension of faith, brethren, which we need at this time to overcome, is that even if this God does not deliver us, you know that if he does not deliver you, all things work together for good to them that love you. You know he's able. But even if he doesn't deliver you, it is for my good. That's why we always say, God, kill me. Rabbi will always say, God, kill me. Because when God kills us, kills you, it is life. So I want us to sing this with that faith. The second dimension of faith. That God, I don't care.
Brother Bert, please can you come and pray for us? As Brother Bert comes to pray, I will make a call out of all of us who are standing. You want God to kill you. Amen. Amen. Well, you know God won't kill you physically, but he will kill you spiritually.
You want God to kill you so that life, His life will come out of you. Keep standing. Keep standing. But you don't want God to kill you now. You don't want God to kill you. Look, we have to be sincere with God, because if you want God to kill you, well, you understand what it means. Please, you stand up. If you don't want, we're going to pray other prayers. If you don't want God to kill you now, just quietly sit down. There's no problem. Amen.
I'm going to make it a little more difficult. I'm going to make it a little more difficult.
It's going to make it a little more difficult.
Yes. And as to whether he wants to do it physically or spiritually, that's his discretion. Did you hear me? Whether he wants to do it physically or spiritually, that's his discretion. Hallelujah. I can't put qualifications on it. Hallelujah. I cannot put qualifications on it. Hallelujah. Because I don't know what's up there. He does. I don't.
Amen. You can sit down. Now make a second call. Well, you know, at times we can say I'm responding by faith. Maybe you have responded by faith. But there are things that you've not really understood. You want God to sharpen your understanding. Can you just stand? God will give you wisdom. You know, it says, in seeing, you see. In hearing, you hear. In understanding, you'll be able to perceive so that you'll be converted. But if these words that are going, we just hear sounds. And we're not able to understand the spiritual implication. We're not able, our souls are not able to understand. Then, brethren, it will not make an impact. It will not bring about a change. But, brethren, you want God to anoint your ears with ear salve, and your eyes with eye salve today. To anoint that the ears and your eye of your heart, so that you begin to understand. You know, those days, when this word began to come to us, you open the scripture and you see as if a revelation, something that is not on the page, and people will get excited. That is how we came to this point. Hallelujah. The tabernacle is a revelation, and the tabernacle can be taught from now till, if you don't have that insight, you will not be able to understand. You just see a diagram and holy place. You just know it as holy place and all that. And it's not making an impact in our lives. So you want God to touch your understanding tonight. Hallelujah. You have to be sincere. You want God to touch your understanding tonight. Bless God. You want God to give you understanding. You want to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Because it says to sons, to all the others, God speaks to them in parables. So you may be hearing parables, stories. Oh, stories of the building with a holy place and all that. Stories. But for you to be a son, God gives you the heart to begin to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries about mystery Babylon. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And God needs to give you understanding, to be able to understand. So let's be sincere. Let God searches our hearts. He knows whether you understand or you don't understand. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't understand, just stand and we will just pray for you. In fact, I was looking for the anointing oil because I felt in my heart that we should anoint ourselves. Those of us who have given ourselves, so that the anointing of God will be a token. Brother Chijoke, can you come? Come and pray. Hallelujah. Just put your hand on your heart as he prays. What you're asking God, say, God, grant me understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom so that I will be converted. Because that's what will bring conversion. Conversion is from within. Because if we don't understand, it's Babylon. You're just following on.
Lord, we thank you very much for such a time. For you said to Elijah, you should pour in, you should build the altar again. And you should pour in the water, you should lay the altar in order. And Isaac began to dig the wells that his father had dug in the past. Lord, we thank you for this call to go back again and to lay the foundations. Lord, we pray for all who are standing, even for those who are sitting. We pray particularly for our children. And we pray with the understanding that we, the parents, and we who are in ministry, we have failed. We have not kept our watch. We have not done that which is proper. So Lord, we come to own up and we ask first of all for forgiveness and for your mercy. We ask for restoration of the Father, the role of the Father to teach and instruct and to be an example. Lord, we have failed. And we ask, O God, that you might give us again another opportunity to walk this word, to live in it, that it will consume us, it will be all, that our children will not be confused. For we have sown the seed of confusion. We have said one thing and lived another. Lord, Babylon has been enthroned in the homes because it has been enthroned upon the heart. And we departed from you a long time. But Lord, with you there is plenty of mercy. Therefore, O God, we ask that you might remember us. You might have mercy upon us. Let a special dispensation of grace and of ministry be made for us, O God. To be able to go back to recover that which has been lost. We pray for those who are standing. Someone said, I will anoint your eyes with eye salve. I will anoint the heart. I will anoint the ears. We ask, O God, for the anointing of the Spirit. And as Paul prayed, that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened. Lord, we address the spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of the serpent, this spirit that rules over Egypt, under which our minds and the eyes of understanding, the conscience of sins, the wisdom of this world, all these workings that have taken the mind captive, will come today, O God, to ask for and to receive a deliverance. Lord, let there be a deliverance of the daughter of Zion. For he said, we should deliver our soul. Lord, we said that the soul which is in captivity in Babylon might be delivered. Lord, we pray for those standing, that the grace of consecration might fall upon them, O God. Let there be special grace given to turn aside. Let there be grace given to study, to dig into the scriptures. Let there be grace to set apart time, to make sacrifice. Let there be grace to go beyond the letter of the word. Let there be grace, O God, to be able to hear at different levels. Lord, take away this covering over the realms of our hearing. They'll be able to hear the trumpets of God. We'll be able to discern the voice of the Lord. Lord, we pray that you might raise teachers. Do not take away our teachers. Lord, raise a teaching priest that will instruct your people between the precious and the vile. Lord, raise a teaching priest that cannot be bought, whose conscience cannot be mortgaged. Lord, not teachers that will minister to us according to our itching ears or according to the idols in our hearts. But Lord, raise a true ministry that will bring fresh water, clean water, that will minister life to your people. Lord, we ask, O God, that you yourself will teach. For you said that the Holy Spirit will teach us. Lord, let there be a special administration of your Spirit to teach and to instruct, to show us the things of Christ. Lord, to take the things of God and to bring it down, to break it down to our understanding. Lord, we ask for the barriers that have been erected in ministry, the walls that have been erected in ministry, the boundaries. Lord, all that the enemy has done, that your word may be bound. Lord, we say this word will not be bound. Let there be an explosion of the revelation of Christ, an explosion of the doctrine of Christ. Let it come down to every man, O God, unto the children, even the young ones, and even the adults, O God. Lord, let today be the beginning. Let it be a threshold, O God, of putting away the past. Lord, let it be a new work and a new commitment with you, O God. Let your doctrine distill and let it drop down, O God. Even in this camp, O God, let there be bread for the eater. And let there be abundant seed to the sower, O God. That every man, Lord, we mean every man, will have a flagon, will have wine, will a sweet wine. Lord, that there'll be sweetness, that there'll be fatness, that there will be an abundant provision, O God, give him. For the journey is yet ahead is far. And the years to come, the days to come are days of darkness, of tribulation. So therefore we ask that you might visit us, O God, and equip us, O God, and fill us to the point of overrunning. We ask that the years that the cankerworm has eaten, the years lost to the caterpillar and the palmer worm, the years lost in sin, the time lost, O God, that there will be a season of recovery. Let there be a season of recovery and restoration, O God. Even for the families, for couples, Lord, for the children, for our young people, O God. Lord, we say our children will not be lost to Moloch. It shall not be lost to electronic Moloch, O God. Lord, that the soul of our children will be delivered from Babylon. Amen. Oh my God, we command that, Lord, that we say that our children, we insist that our children will not be delivered, oh God. That everyone that is a lawful captive will be delivered. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we receive a recovery. A recovery, oh God, of our youth. Let that strength of the youth be recovered, O God. Amen. And may it be released, O God, in our midst and in the things of God. We just bless you today, O God. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I read Acts chapter 3. I read from verse 19. It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, there's a refreshing that is going to come to you if you truly repented. You truly gave yourself to God. You were determined. There's a refreshing that is going to come to you. There's a grace that is going to come to you. And I would want to encourage us to watch over this grace. Something miraculous has happened to us tonight if you sincerely gave your life to God. Hallelujah. And you need to believe it. You don't need to go back the way you are. As we step out, the enemy will come to challenge you. The scoffing spirit will come. But brethren, there is something. And the voice of the Spirit of God will be clearer to you. The Spirit of God will make a demand. There's an opportunity God has given us as we repented today. Praise the name of the Lord. And let us be circumspect to respond to the unction of the Spirit in our lives. Brethren, that's the only way we can now move forward from the position in which we are in. Hallelujah. I think that why God led us to pray for those who are not understanding is because you have those who understand and have others who don't understand. There's a mixture, and mixture is Babylon. God wants to bring all of us to a place where we'll be able to hear him, speak with one voice. We will all be under the head. Praise the name of the Lord. There's something I believe that God has done in our midst tonight. And let us hold it tenaciously. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just sing this song. I will never, never be the same again. Let it be a confession. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe that God has touched you, let's just sing that song together. And then we'll just close. Now, I'm sure that there are those, the response we are getting, that there are some questions, that sincere questions about this message that needs to be answered. We are going to ask those questions, and then we are going to find time to handle them. So let's just sing this song. Let's just stand and rejoice. Hallelujah. I will never, never be the same. Tell the devil you'll never, never be the same again. Amen.